So thank you for your faithfulness. The Lord has been speaking to us in these series of messages that I've been speaking concerning the church. You know, when all this started happening, I started scratching my head and I started thinking, you know, God, what are you saying to your church? And the Holy Spirit, even though I've, in 28 years here, I've probably preached through the churches of Revelation, who knows how many times. I've studied the Revelation from beginning to end here at the church, probably about five times in the 28 years that I've been here. And I've preached through the churches of Revelation many times. And the Holy Spirit just began to speak to me. And I began to look at these churches in a different light. Instead of saying, you know, just the church at Ephesus or the church in Sardis or the church in Philadelphia, I began to say, Lord, what was the characteristic? And let me just speak and title and look at that church based on what I see. So I've titled the message today, The Danger of Toleration. The danger of toleration. All of us are probably guilty of, from time to time, tolerating things in our life. And matter of fact, all of us that are seated here today have a life that everybody knows, and then we have a life that people don't know. Oh, come on now. We have a life that everybody knows. You know what that is? That's our reputation. But then we have a life that is more of a realistic mirrored reflection of what it really is. And you know what that is? That's our character. There's a major difference in character and reputation. A major difference. I'll never forget his counsel. I'll never forget the man who took a few minutes of his time. And I was coming from Greenville, North Carolina. I was on a hospital call from what was known in those days, I guess, will still be called by many, Pitt Memorial Hospital. It's hard for us to get used to saying Vidant Medical Center. But I was coming from Pitt Memorial or Vidant Medical Center, and I was driving back to Ahoskie, and I had called someone because I felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to ask him. Why him, you say? Why would you have called him? I called him because he had a tremendous track record in ministry. I called him because he was a trusted pastor, a trusted servant leader. And I'll never forget, I was facing a conflict in one of my churches. I was facing a conflict in one of those bodies of believers that looked like it was going to be very critical. It looked like perhaps the church would split. How many of y'all know what a church split is? Come on. Some of you have been through them. It's never God's will. This is a bold statement, but I believe it to be true. It's never, somebody say never, never God's will for a church to split. We believe God's plan in the mathematical spiritual world is not division, but rather what? Multiplication. That God would multiply the church. We've done that. That's why you have an upper room assembly today. Amen? We've done that. That's why you have an El Tayeli Capintero today. Why? Because we multiplied. You don't divide. God hates division. He hates division. And I was leading this congregation, and I was facing, with my influence over them, I was facing looking at seeing them split right down the middle. It did not look good. So I called upon the counsel of this trusted friend, this trusted mentor in my life, this seasoned veteran, if you will. And I began to ask him, I said, listen, man, I know you've been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt. I know that you've got a lot more experience than I do in multiple churches. I said, could I ask you a question? He said, yes. He said, what can I help you with? I said, I want you to help me with making an assessment on a church that perhaps you might be familiar with as well. And I began, he said, why don't you describe it to me? And he said, you got my ear, Wallace. And I began to just describe to him what I was experiencing in this church. And it didn't take but a little bit of time before he said, stop right there, Wallace, stop. He said, that's enough, you've told me enough. And then he went into his assessment by the use of a question. Don't you hate it when you're talking to somebody and you ask them a question and they say, well, let me ask you something. You know, come on. Because you're always wondering, now, am I going to be able to do what? Answer the question. So he says, let me ask you a question. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, what is a doctor's first proactive move when someone has gone to him as a physician and he has had to tell them that you have the big C word, you have cancer, what is the doctor's first proactive move? And I said, well, that's quite simple. I said, usually the doctor will say, we're going to try to surgically remove the cancer. He said, absolutely right. And there was a dead silence there. And I thought, well, aren't you going to tell me more? And he said, well, we've been talking about this church you're talking about. And you've described the problem to me. He said, let me just ask you another question until you really get this. He said, why would the doctor surgically remove the cancer? And I said, well, that's quite simple too, because if he don't remove the cancer, then the cancer could do what? Metastasize in the medical world. It could spread through the body and ultimately bring death to that person. He said, absolutely right. Have a good day. I said, wait. Wait a minute. I said, are you saying? He said, well, you described the problem. You're the pastor. Surgically remove the person. I said, whoa. You know, it takes a lot of courage to go tell you that, you know, we no longer need you to do this anymore. You're not going to be functioning in this role that you functioned in for some time now. Or perhaps, you know, we're going to take your name off the door. You follow what I'm saying? He said, but you have to surgically remove. You have to remove this cancer, because what you've described to me will bring destruction to that church if you don't remove it. Can I just tell you something? That's an internal problem. And if you tolerate some things that are internal, whether it be cancer in a physical body or whether it be a spiritual cancer in a spiritual body, if you tolerate those things, if you do not remove them, that's what will happen. That attitude, that mindset, that bondage, whatever it may be, will move through the entirety of that congregation, and the church will suffer split or loss. Toleration can be dangerous. Toleration can be deadly. During this pandemic, we've been walking through the words of Jesus to the seven churches. We've done Sardis. We've done Ephesus. We've done Smyrna. We've done Pergamum last week. And today, we're taking just a look at Thyatira. Beautiful story. Thyatira, the church of which Christ literally wrote the longest letter. How many of you have gotten short letters? This was the longest letter that Jesus wrote to a church. The church, which I like to describe as the one who had cancer, likewise, this internal problem, this cancer, if you will, gave this church the undesirable characteristic of being a church that was known to be corrupt, a corrupt church. You know, there are churches that are labeled corrupt. There are Christian leaders that are labeled corrupt. Can't trust him. Can't trust her. That's the reputation that this church had. Listen with me, Revelation chapter 2, the verses are 18 to 29. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes, look at the picture of Jesus here, whose eyes are like a blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love, I know your faith, I know your service, I know your perseverance, and that you're now doing more than you did when you started, when you did it first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate. Somebody say tolerate. You tolerate that woman Jezebel. She calls herself what? A prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants. Notice what she does here. She misleads my servants. She pulls them. She lures them. She attracts them into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I thought we were here to worship the Lord. Sexual immorality and eating food sacrificed to idols. I've given her time to repent, verse 21, of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I'll cast her on a bed of suffering. And I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I'll strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and the minds, and I'll repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching. How many of you know there's always a remnant? You don't hold to her teaching, and you have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets. Can't you just imagine what she was propagating to these people? Hey, if you really want to go deeper with God, why don't you meet us on Tuesday night? I was in a church many, many years ago that, you know, one of the problems that the church had was the church wasn't good enough. And so if you just go over to so-and-so's house on Thursday night, he's really breaking the Word of God down. And if you're not careful, hear me, if you're not careful, some small group, some little clique, some little club in the church can split a church wide open. And so that's what this Jezebel was doing. She had her own little meetings. Meet on an off night, okay? And he says, verse 26, to the one who's victorious and does my will to the end, I'll give you authority over the nations. That one will rule with them with an iron scepter and dash them like pieces of pottery, just as I've received authority from my Father. Verse 28, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, Jesus always says this, let him hear. If you've got an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, if you've got an ear this morning to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us as a body, those who are watching online, if you've got an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you as a believer today, listen, hear. Look at verse 18. To the angel of the church at Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like a blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. It's interesting every time to look how Jesus addresses his church. It's almost, you ever been pulled by a lawman? I have. Matter of fact, I almost got arrested this morning. Brian put handcuffs on me out there in the hallway and said, when you came to church this morning, you came in the wrong entrance. Amen. And I did. I said, you're absolutely right. But when you're pulled, you know, when you're down the road and you're driving a certain mile per hour and you notice something in your rearview mirror, there's an automatic let up. Or when you see one coming and you see that silver and the blue, there's something that happens inside of you that automatically, you might be going 55, but you automatically do what? You let off the gas. Why? Because credentials are in front of you or credentials are behind you. And so credentials give the right. So Jesus comes and he always, when he writes to the church, notice what he does. He always pulls his credentials, okay? He always makes a statement, a statement of authority. And this is what he says here. He says to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God. Here's the credential. Whose eyes are like blazing fire. Whose feet are like burnished bronze. Jesus speaks to them. He's no different here. He says, I'm the one who has a piercing gaze. You know, I grew up in a home where my dad, he's probably listening to the message now, and he knows this to be true. My dad ruled with his eyes. How many of y'all grew up in one of them houses? You know, where he didn't have to say anything. He just gave you those two eyes, man. And you knew that on the other side of those eyes, there was business on your behind if you didn't get it right, okay? He ruled with his eyes. He would just look at you. You could be cutting up somewhere in public or something, and you look across the room, and you catch Daddy's eyes. And in a moment, your foot was off the gas, okay? You were backing up. Why? Because Daddy saw me. Amen? And so Jesus is staying. Listen, I have eyes that have authority. Jesus can look right through you. He can see, He can see through every facade you have in the spirit. He can see through every costume, every fraud, every fake. You can fake your friends. Did you know that? You can fake your friends. You can fake your pastor. You can. You can get it over on the pastor, and you can have him thinking that you are just all that and a spiritual big bag of chips. You can fake your pastor. You can even fake out your neighbors and the folk you work with. But you know what? You can't fake the Holy Ghost. You can't. You cannot. Why? Because he has eyes like a blazing fire. It would be a good place here to interject a question or two. Amen? What is it that you're faking? Come on. What is it that you're faking? What is it that you're able to keep from your friends? What is it that you're able to keep from your pastor, your neighbors, but you know is not really kept from the one who really sees it all? Amen? Paul said to the church at Rome, I've loved this verse all of my life. He said to the church at Rome that there was coming a day when the secrets of every man would be laid bare. King James Version, Romans 2, verse 16. In that day when God shall judge what? The secrets of men by Christ Jesus. How's he going to judge it? What's he going to judge it by? According to my gospel. In the New Living Translation, this is a good spot here, Romans 2:16. And this is the message that Paul says, I proclaim that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. You know what that tells you? Everybody has one. If he says, I'll judge everyone's secret life, that means everybody has a secret life. You kids have things you don't want your mom and daddy to know. Amen? You moms or dads may have things that you really would rather not your kids know, because then they might do the same thing. Pastor Joy has said it many times. Come on, help me here. The apple don't fall far from the tree. Come on. That's so true. It's so true. You have to understand that. And Jesus says, I am the one who has the eyes of the fire here, Thyatira. I see you internally. And the Son of God says to this church, I know your deeds, verse 19. I know your love. I know your faith and your service and your perseverance. And I know that you're now doing more than you did at first. You've progressed. Thyatira is going to have an indictment here, though, because the master is the one who sees it all. So the church is commended for something that these other three churches that we've looked at, other few churches, have maybe not been commended for, their charity, their love. They were commended for their work, but these guys are commended for their love. Love starts in the heart, and it works itself where? Outward. Jesus uses this order. I see your deeds. I see your love, your faith, your service, your perseverance. In fact, there must have been growth, because Jesus says there was perseverance amid challenge and that they were doing more than they were doing when they first started. And the same applies to us. There may be an area of your life where you're faking it. That doesn't mean you don't have good qualities. I'm going to share a couple of statements with you that perhaps some of you have said before, or maybe you've heard somebody else say. Have you ever heard somebody say something like this, or perhaps maybe you've said it yourself? Man, he's as good as gold until he starts drinking. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Have you ever heard anybody say this? I'll tell you one thing. She's one of the best workers we got. But now she'll tell you a lie once in a while. Come on. She's one of the best workers we got, but she will lie to you. You ever called your employer and say, hello? I'm not going to be able to make it today. Well, you sound horrible. Yeah, I'm having a struggle. I think I'm going to need a couple of days. And the boss says, well, look, you get yourself well, and we'll see you. How about we just plan on seeing you Monday? Okay, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hang up. All right, I'm ready to go shopping. All right. She's a great worker, but she'll lie to you, man. She'll lie to you once in a while, usually close to Christmas. I don't know what it is, but she'll lie to you around the holiday. Okay. In other words, there's good, and there's very good, and there's exceptional. But then there's that one thing about them. That's the way it was for the church at Thyatira. Come on, I'm trying to drive this home to you so you'll know what I'm talking about. I have to use words. I don't have balloons. There's the good news, but then there's the challenge. Look at verse 20. Nevertheless, I have this against you, Jesus said. And this word just jumped out at me. That's why I used it in the title. You tolerate that woman Jezebel. And she calls herself a prophet. I noticed that today. We got a lot of folk out there who are calling themselves prophets. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. And Jesus gives this sweeping indictment of spiritual wickedness. He said, you've tolerated her. You've tolerated her. She was a literal, hear me, church, she was a literal lady, a literal woman in the church who was leading the church to live a life of fornication and eating food that was sacrificed to idols. She was an internal problem in that church, a cancer, if you will. And she wasn't on the outside bringing problems on the inside. She was an internal problem in the church. She was one of them. And the indictment of the church is that the church tolerates this. When Jesus speaks to all of these churches to teach us valued spiritual lessons, who does he write to? I'm writing to the angel of the church. Who's the angel? The pastor. Amen? He says, I'm writing to you. Why? Because you've been trusted with the church. I'm writing to you because you are the seated authority there. And you're the one that's supposed to do something about it. But you know what you've done? You've tolerated it. This word tolerate in the original language notes this: to put up with, to allow, or to permit. I guess my question is, what are we tolerating? What are we putting up with? What are we allowing in our lives? What are we permitting to have a place or a position or a seat in our lives? We know it's there. We understand it. It probably doesn't please the Lord. We know it's a Jezebel in our life, and while we do have good, a lot of exceptional things in our life, we got this secret thing. And for this church, it was this woman of influence, this Jezebel. And you know, I find it interesting. I've studied these churches for many years. I find it interesting that, you know, and today, this is not an uncommon thing. There's a lot of women in the church. Women outnumber men in every church. But hold your seat. Women outnumber men on the earth. There's more women on the earth than there are men. Some of you guys are saying, and I'm still having trouble finding one. Okay. Okay. All the women, raise your hand. Come on. Okay. But here's the beautiful thing. Here's the thing that I discovered about this church. This church, somebody say this church. This church was probably started by a woman. This church was started by a woman in all possibility, all probability, was started by a woman who was a godly woman. And her name was Lydia. Acts chapter 16, when Luke writes to his letter about the church, about the workings of the Holy Spirit, he writes the book of Acts. And this is what he says in Acts chapter 16. He says, on the Sabbath day, we went outside of the city gate to the river. I'm in verse 13 and 14. Where we expected to find us a place of prayer. And we sat down and we began to speak to the women. Notice this. There's a bunch of women gathered there. And verse 14, one of those who was listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira. And her name was what? Lydia. And she was a dealer in purple cloth. And there's a beautiful story about how this area was noted for purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the message that the Apostle Paul was proclaiming on his missionary journey. And history tells us that more than likely Lydia kept gathering these women together, and they were in a craft guild. They kept gathering together and meeting, and they were responding to the teachings of the Apostle Paul, and they began a church there. Because nowhere else in history do we ever see a leader that is noted to be the one who led the church at Thyatira. Perhaps it was Lydia. So it's not uncommon for the women to have a strong place. Isn't it amazing that today's church fights women in ministry? Beth Moore's been roasted on an open fire because she's a woman. Someone was just attacking her earlier this year about her ministry. Just putting her on the cross because of what she did. She has no business. You know, God help that guy. Here's a Lydia. Here's a woman who was probably responsible for this church. And then so it's not uncommon that women would have been key players in the church. But here's this woman who's up to no good. This Jezebel. I really don't think that was her name. You can argue with me if you like. It's not going to change anything. Okay. I really don't think her name was Jezebel. I think, Pastor Mike, that they were looking and they were trying to describe the spirit that she represented and that she was a Jezebel. Come on. She was a Jezebel. You tolerate this woman, Jezebel. And Jesus is describing her because we have to go back in history and find out where do we find out about the character of this Jezebel? Well, 1 Kings chapter 16 tells you about this lady because she was the woman Jezebel who was the wicked wife of who? Ahab, the king of Israel. And she was one that combined the worship of God with the worship of Baal. And the Bible says in chapter 16, verse 33 of 1 Kings, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to get angry than all the kings of Israel combined before him. That's a wicked king, okay? She was evil. Why was she so evil? We don't really know all the whys, but we do know she was evil. She was evil enough to kill Naboth and steal his vineyard for her husband. She had killed practically all the prophets, but there was a godly man, come on somebody, by the name of Elijah, a true prophet of God, who spoke up and said, woman, let me tell you something. Your end is coming and your flesh will be eaten by the dogs. Come on, Rover, eat them up. And it came to pass. 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 33 to 35. So Jesus likens this woman, don't lose the story. Jesus likens this woman in this church that has pulled away these people and enticed them to do immoral things. He says she's a Jezebel. And he said in verse 21, look at the grace and the mercy of God. This is what he says. He says, I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling. As our worship team comes and we prepare to close, let me ask you a question. Serious question. How many times, you may be listening to me online today, how many times has the Holy Spirit touched your heart in conviction, trying his best to pull you from this vice in your life? To pull you from this habit, to pull you from this thing that you know does not honor God. I've given her time to repent, but she's not willing. You know why she wasn't willing? Because she didn't want to. You know why you don't give up what you know you need to give up? Because you like it more than you like not having it. I've noticed that we have seen addiction magnified during this pandemic. Addiction is a sad thing. It's a sad thing. But we've seen those who struggle with addiction struggle even more when this pressure's on. I said to my wife, we were traveling down the road one day this past week, and I said, I feel for the addict, but I said, it is sad. And I was speaking sincerely from my heart. I said, isn't it sad that the addict loves what they're addicted to so much more than they know than they would love freedom? Freedom would be so much easier. But they love what they're addicted to so much more. God help them. Please, please pray for those who are addicted by things, circumstances, habits. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's not willing. Jesus has a great track record of mercy and grace. He really does. Why don't people repent? Well, look down at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Why didn't she repent? She didn't want to. Why haven't you repented? Why have you tolerated the things that you have tolerated? Because Jesus says it this way. Look at this verse. If you don't catch another one the whole time, check this one out. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. And the indicator here is by nature, by sinful nature. People love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and won't come into the light for fear that their deeds would be exposed. Have you ever stayed away from a place because you knew that maybe you just don't need to be around there because the truth might come out? Stay away. We missed you. Yeah, I had to work overtime. No, you're not comfortable when maybe someone was going to be there that might trigger someone else to think, do they have a chemistry? See? So he says, I'll cast her on a bed of suffering, and I'll make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. Christ is always wanting the same thing from us, a repentant heart. Verse 24 and 25. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who don't hold her teaching and have not learned these so-called deep secrets that she has. I'm not going to impose any more burden on you. Verse 25. But just hold on to what you have until I come. Hold on to what you got. Jesus speaks to this godly remnant here, the ones who were not influenced by this Jezebel. And he says, hold on to what you have until I come. I love that scripture that says in the Old Testament, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, let my private life, let it be manifested. Let people see who you've created in me, because your character lives in me. The danger of toleration. I'm just going to simply ask you. I'm not here to embarrass anyone. That's not my goal. My goal here is to pull you from a particular place in your journey, your walk with Christ. And I could just ask you this morning, if there are those places, those private places, those secret places that you've pushed the Holy Spirit away from them. Could today's reopening day for many churches, they've come back together to sit together in heavenly places. Could today be that day where you just allow the light of the Holy Spirit to just open up your heart in a way like it's not been opened before? Come on, just tell the Holy Spirit right now, God, I give this to you. I don't always tell the truth, Lord, I give this to you. I've been using something that I really shouldn't be using. Lord, I give that to you. I've been making it look one way on paper when it's really not that way. Lord, I give that to you. Would you just give? Would you just let the Holy Spirit fill in the blank? Would you just give unto him the real you? Lord, I give myself to you. I want to live a life as an overcomer. I hear what the Spirit, come on church, says to the church. I don't want to be guilty of toleration. I don't want to let this cancer grow. Here's a great statement I just want to let the Holy Spirit surgically remove what I'm hiding from the Lord, trying my best to hide from the Lord. I give it to him. Lord, come on, say it to yourself. Go ahead, operate on me. Just take it out. God, I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I thank you that you love us enough to speak to us. I thank you that early in the service, you reminded us you want your glory to cover this earth. Lord, we don't want to be anything that holds it back. We want people to see your love, your blessing, your provision, your favor, your love, your bounty. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you if the Holy Spirit has just been doing some incredible working in your own spirit right now, just stand to your feet and just thank him, would you? Come on, just stand to your feet and thank him right where you are. Some of you may want to move out in the aisle. Some of you may want to just come to the altar. Come on, some of you may just want to stand in his presence. You can come and stand at the altar. We can still have distance. Come on. I still believe the Bible says it for a reason. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you need prayer today and you don't mind that, listen, someone will pray with you. Amen. Just come as they sing. Stand in the aisle. Come to the front. Do what you need to do. Let's let the Holy Spirit have his way today. Come on.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, hallelujah. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Come on, give the Lord praise, would you? Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Our ushers are going to release you. They're going to help you to get out of the building today safely and securely. Thank you, thank you, thank you for a spirit of just tremendous cooperation today. Thank you for being here. Those of you that are online, as they continue just to sing this song in a moment, would you just allow the Holy Spirit? I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit has just done some surgical things in our lives today as we've gathered in this place. Would you at home, would you, wherever you are, would you allow the Holy Spirit just to continue that surgical work, that removal of those things that just are not pleasing to Him as you listen, as you worship along with us as we're released today. God bless you. Don't forget, no services on Wednesday at the church. We'll see you online this week. God bless you all. Give your offering on the way out the door. Thank you for your financial support as well. God bless you.